When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon his throne of glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For when I was hungered, ye gave me meat, and when I was thirsty, ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For when I was hungered, ye gave me no meat, and when I was thirsty, ye gave me no drink. When I was a stranger, ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when we saw thee hungered, athirst, a stranger, or naked, and sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Greetings. Welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. Website, www.scriptureandprophecy.com. And what we got going on here this morning is an unplanned podcast. So I'm not quite sure where it's going to end up, but there was a couple of thoughts that I wanted to share with you guys. And there's a article that somebody wrote that I want to read to you that I found to be very good and compelling and thought-provoking in it. I came across it at the same time I was thinking about this very thing, which was interesting. And what I was thinking about yesterday is, I was thinking about Pastor James McDonald, who was a leader of a big church in Chicago. He was really instrumental in me really coming back to faith. I was really backslidden and going through a terrible, terrible time in my life. And I heard a sermon of his on the radio, and it just changed my life. But recently he's been coming up against a lot of fire. He got fired from the church. They're claiming he said all kinds of mean things and yada, yada, yada. I don't want to get into it. But I was thinking, man, people are just believing these things are true when they've seen no proof, heard no proof. And I was reminded by an end times sermon that I heard, and I cannot for the life of me remember where I heard this audio clip. But the person talking, or the pastor, said that, in the last days, and I'm going to paraphrase here, Christians who are being persecuted, they're not going to go down as, oh, they were persecuted for their great faith in Jesus Christ. That'll be the real I think maybe it was Paul Washer who said this. That'll be the reason that they're persecuted. But as far as the world is concerned, they're going to go down as, bigots and pedophiles and, whatever the accusation is. And I'm paraphrasing his words, of course. You know, whatever the accusations are, that's what they're going to go down as. But the real reason will be because of their faith in Christ. But the world, it's not like the persecutors are going to come in and say, well, he was such a great Jesus follower that we just had to take him down. No, of course they're going to come up with stuff. And I was thinking, man, if that's true, if that's really how it'll play out, and if we're starting to see it play out that way, the people who will be doing the persecuting, and I've made this comment, and you guys have heard me say this a million times, will be the people within the church. It'll be the goats who love the world, who don't want to hear you stand up and tell them what sin is, or tell them that it's the end of the day, end of days. It'll be the sheep in wolf's clothing. And I'm convinced that the churches around America today are filled with a lot of goats. And the thing about the goats is a lot of the times I don't think they know that they are the goats. They never think to themselves, oh man, I wonder if I'm really in the faith. They don't examine their faith daily to see if they are in the faith, like Paul suggests we do. And then you've got the sheep. They're always worried that they're not actually sheep. Because they're constantly examining themselves, they're constantly repenting of sin, they take it very seriously. And so it reminded me of this passage. The day is coming when the Son of Man shall come in all of his glory, him and his holy angels with him, and he's going to sit upon his throne, and everybody's going to be brought to him for judgment. And the sheep are going to be separated on one side and the goats on the other. And of course, the sheep are going to come into eternal life. The goats are going to go into eternal hell. But here's the thing. Notice what Christ is focusing most on. Come into the kingdom, he says, because you took care of those who were hungry, you took care of those who were thirsty, you took care of the stranger, you clothed them, you took care of them when they were sick, you visited them in prison, and what you did to the least of these people, you've done to me. All throughout the scriptures, this is what we find. We've been doing all these studies in the Psalms and the Proverbs, and what keeps coming up? And when I read through the prophets, the same thing keeps coming up. God being angry that people aren't taking care of the poor and the widow. I believe we just read out of Isaiah not too long ago where God says, you know, your sacrifices and stuff like that, that's all worthless to me when you're not taking care of the widow and the poor and those who are in need. Friends, this is the number one thing I'm telling you. Convicting. And what does he say to the goats? He doesn't say, ah, you guys are, no. He doesn't, in this particular passage, he's not bringing up all their sin. He's saying, hey, you ignored the poor and the hungry and those who were thirsty and the stranger and the naked and those who needed clothes and those who were sick and those who were in prison. And what you did to the least of these, you did unto me. Or what you didn't do for the least of these, you didn't do for me. And one thing else I've learned is that I'm starting to learn is, you know, I did that podcast not too long ago about count the cost. Count the cost. This is what Jesus says. You know, nobody ever says this from a church pulpit. Hey, by the way, follow Jesus, but let it be known. Your life's not just going to magically get pretty. Things aren't just going to magically get easy. You're not just going to get rich and all that. As a matter of fact, things might actually get challenging for you, especially on a spiritual level. There's a cost to following Christ because you have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow after him. And you've got to come out of Babylon and you've got to begin to walk away from the things of this world. I mean, that's the reality. That's what Jesus is actually asking us to do. And in Luke, what does he say? For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether ye have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after you have laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begun to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And Paul tells us in 2 Timothy, yea, he goes through all the afflictions that he's had to suffer. He says, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me in Antioch and Iconium and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of all of them the Lord delivered me. Yea, listen to this, all that will, did he say some or did he say all? Okay. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you truly live godly. If you're just posing, if you're just going through the motions, you're not going to see any persecution. What reason does the enemy have to come against you? You're helping the cause if you're not really walking in faith. If you're not really walking in righteousness and holiness, if you look exactly like the rest of the world. You see, the thing about a goat is it can pass as a sheep or it can pass as a goat. I mean, you mix it in with a flock of sheep, you can't hardly tell the difference. But if you will to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer forms of persecution. It's just how it is. And why? Because in the last days, verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness. We need to get more familiar with that word. Righteousness. Yes, it's a word. Yes, it's in the New Testament. Yes, it's an expectation of how you're to walk. It means you're walking in obedience to God. You're walking in right standing. I want to get to this article that I read. I want to share it with you guys, and then I'm going to wrap it up this morning. I just thought this was really well written. I don't know anything about this author, but I'll link to the article on my website, scriptureandprophecy.com. It'll be in the just on the blog there on the front. It may not be up the minute that this podcast is up, but sometime this afternoon. So you can go see the original. So let me share this with you. And the title of the article is Goats in the Midst of the Sheep. And it looks like it's by lovesickscribe.com. Again, I don't know anything about the website. I just came across this article. So, but from what I read of the article is good. Here's what it says. I'm going to read it to you. Whoever wrote this, well done. It says, can you tell the difference between goats and sheep? Did you know that in some parts of the world they appear identical? It is not as clear-cut as one would think by mere appearance at times. There is something troubling me as I observe our current situation in the church. I'm not speaking of the world because many have given over to a debased mind and do not understand the truth. However, I see things within the church that cause me to weep for the bride of Christ. It is a willingness to browse and not graze in spiritual sense, Allow me to explain what I mean, because what I sense right now is a separation of the goats and the sheep within the church and a discernment to recognize what is of God and what is not. When I found myself thinking about the difference between goats and sheep, I did not look so much at their appearance as I did for their feeding habits and predispositions. As I said before, there are goats that look like sheep and vice versa. Appearance is not enough. It ultimately comes down to diet. Sheep and goats forage very differently. Sheep are known for grazing. Grazers eat vegetation like grasses and such, and when they eat at the ground level, roots included. They eat what is nutrient rich. They tend to be more selective in what they consume. Goats, on the other hand, are browsers. And what do browsers eat? Well, they eat lots of things. Have you ever seen it? By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt, but have you ever seen a goat eat? I mean, you could throw a piece of plastic in the pen and they'll eat that. They'll eat anything. And that's the point this writer's making. They forage leaves, twigs, shrubs, thorns, etc. They eat what is present on the surface. And though they are not discreet in their eating habits, which may seem an advantage, it proves to be a disadvantage because much of what they consume is low in nutrients and potentially containing chemicals applied by man. This to me is a prophetic picture of what is currently going on in the body of Christ. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." We know him by having a relationship with him. What does this have to do with diet of sheep and goats? Everything. We are living in a time when even some within the church are browsers instead of grazers. There is a lot of surface consumption of what is convenient to eat. We are partaking of things in an indiscreet way, meaning that we are spiritually eating what is offered, never discerning if it's nutritionally sound and dense spiritually. Instead of investing in what is grounded and rooted well, rich in spiritual sustenance, we eat what is convenient, even if it means eating the thorns and the things in reach. Some are eating green vegetation, spiritually speaking, because it looks good. But it is laced with toxins from man, things that are not foundational truths. There is a saying from the rich gospel of Jesus Christ in some areas. The church is split on hot topics in the current culture that should be non-negotiable. And in the process, goats are infiltrating the flock. Listen, shepherds do not lead goats. Goats lead other goats. They do not know the shepherd. Church, let me be clear in something. If you are a sheep and you know the shepherd, Jesus Christ, you won't browse or eat whatever is offered to you. You will go to the root and eat what is dense in provision for your spirit. You will not be satisfied in taking on a nature that is not your portion. We have a long-standing issue of letting another leader in the church do our Bible reading and study for us instead of searching the scriptures for ourselves and making sure that another Jesus is not being preached. The church is getting sick in some parts because we are ingesting words low in nutrients. Jesus leads the sheep, not the other way around. I'm concerned that we are only seeing those in the world with itching ears, but we are seeing those also referred by Paul who would turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths, according to 2 Timothy 4:4. There are those who will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to ungodly doctrines, 1 Timothy 4:1. Do you know what is sobering to me about these passages? This is referring to those who know the truth and willingly turned from it to feast on something else. They became goats. They settled for intimacy with another and compromised their inheritance. We are living in a time where to proclaim the unadulterated word of God requires a willingness to consume it without hesitation and to live it without apology. The old saying goes, "You are what you eat." I ask you, when you minister, is it proven and tested and abided in the vine? We have a tremendous opportunity to prove that we are sheep rather than goats in this hour. There is a separation that will happen in the coming days. As the darkness overplays its hands, I gotta pause for a second. I really like this line in the article, and we're almost done. Because I do think this is what's happening. In the coming days, there's going to be a separation. And this person makes an observation about that separation that I think is compelling. This is what it says. As the darkness overplays its hand, the sheep will make themselves known, and they will rejoice knowing that they have feasted upon what has brought great spiritual sustenance, holy truth, deep intimacy with Jesus Christ. You see, what's going to happen, friends, in the future, and then you're going to see, and we're talking about what you're going to see within the church. The goats, the darkness, they will eventually overplay their hands. In other words, they're going to adopt such things that are so apostate, so filthy, it'll become so dead within those buildings that the few sheep, the remnant that are among it, will stand out like a light shining in darkness. It'll be obvious. Let me finish this article. True sheep desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, and they will be persecuted for it. Which we just talked about, right? We just read how Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. True sheep desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, and they will be persecuted for it, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy 3:12. I know this is a heavy word, but we need meat in this time. We need to be fed sustenance and not scraps or sugar. Church, I urge you to follow the shepherd and make the word of God your nutrient-rich meal. Hear his voice, eat his words, and follow him. That was a great article. Again, I'm going to post links up to it on my website sometime this afternoon. This is our midweek podcast for this week, and it's just one of those things that just kind of came to me randomly as I was thinking and dwelling on some other things, and then as I'm researching for my thoughts to pull up the scriptures for the podcast that was starting to develop in my mind, I came across the article about the sheep and the goats. Almost like it was meant to be, huh? Hopefully that gives you something to think about. I want you to remember to be a sheep and to be careful about following after what the goats are following after. And also let it be a reminder to take care of those who are in need. Very serious. And just let it be known that you're going to face adversaries. God will not leave you nor forsake you, but you may face some persecution. In some parts of the world, our brothers and sisters who are really living for Christ, who have really given up everything for Christ, are being martyred. This is a reality for those who live to wish godly. I wish it weren't true, but it is. And it's promised by Christ. And Paul says all, meaning all, who wish to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Comes in many different forms. But don't be surprised when you get some pushback, because you want to walk in righteousness and holiness, because your priority is Jesus Christ and God the Father and not the world and not pleasing the world. Don't be surprised if you face pushback because you want to stand out and be different from the world, separated from the world, a strange and peculiar people, instead of being just like the world because you want to be relevant to the world. That's what goats want to do. Follow the Good Shepherd. I pray in the powerful name of Jesus that this podcast has blessed you and reached you in some way. Thank you for all your generosity recently. I really, really appreciate it. Far more than I deserve. Far more than I deserve for this work. It is my good pleasure, my privilege to do this work. So thank you for your support. And if you're someone you're interested in supporting the podcast, go to scriptureandprophecy.com. Think about becoming a Patreon on a monthly basis. You can cancel at any time. And really, really appreciate it. Peace and grace be with all of you. And until next time, God bless.